I'm Chad. I'm an alcoholic.
Hey, Chad.
Grateful to be up here. Grateful for Alcoholics Anonymous. I've been nervous about this, I guess. It's running through my mind, and I think the first thing that comes through my heart and my mind is just the hope that Alcoholics Anonymous has given me. I was that kid. I can still remember that kid on the kindergarten playground that just kind of sat back and watched, just felt uncomfortable and impending doom, I guess, in a lot of ways. And that continued pretty much through my whole life. I had a great family, good upbringing, good parents, got older, got a beautiful wife, beautiful kids. My wife's a great mother. And that impending doom was still there. Of just feeling different, just not feeling a part, feeling better than or worse than, the next shoe to drop, all those things, or the second shoe to drop. And, it wasn't until I got to the point with my alcoholism of surrender that I didn't ever feel that hope. I did not come in on a winning streak. I had gotten violent at my house with the people that I love the most. And woke up that next morning and went to a meeting. And I had been to meetings, a lot of meetings through my life. Identified as an alcoholic, and I just didn't, I just said it, I'm here, I might as well identify. But that day at the meeting was up on the mesa at 12 o'clock. It was me and two other people, a man and a woman. And, that day when I identified and I truly knew it in my heart and in my soul that I was an alcoholic, as broken as I was, there was just this little glimmer of hope there, this little seed that I had never felt before. I think in a lot of ways that was God meeting me there. That was where I needed to be at that place. Everything I had gone through before, I wasn't ready a day before, and I don't know if I would have been willing to come in the day after. I needed to be there that day. And so I got in, and that man, she left because I was just a crying mess. And it was just me and one other man, Seamus. I'm sure a lot of you guys know him. And he gave me, I like to say, my first book of Alcoholics Anonymous. I've had previous, a lot of books through the years. I've read it back to front many a times. But when I read it this time, I thought it was a whole new fucking book. It felt like it was rewritten. I related to it. I tried to, instead of looking at the differences in it, I related to them. And I met my sponsor that night, and he took me to what now is my home group, the Village Group, at 7 a.m. I was just talking to him. I think I called him every day that first 30 days. You can't believe what they were sharing about. They were talking about exactly what we were talking about. They were talking right to me. And I've stopped doing that to him now. But those similarities continue to happen. And through those similarities and listening, that delusion that that I can drink like other people has been smashed. I can 100% say today, right now, that I'm an alcoholic. Just like a lot of us in here, I have a great sponsor. I have a great sponsor. When I'd hear that, people all the time said, I had a great sponsor working through the steps. And I'd always be like, do I have a great sponsor? I like to analyze everything, of course. but the reality is I do. I have a man who worked the steps of Alcoholics Anonymous with me the way that his sponsor worked it with him through the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous. And I had this delusion with the steps that as I was going through these steps and as I was going through my fifth step and my resentments that I would no longer be resentful and I would get rid of all these defects of character. I realize now that that's not the case. That's daily maintenance for me. you know, it's important for me to get up every morning and be in that routine, you know, to be in the routine of meditation and reading and praying, and then remember that God is with me through the rest of the day. Try to take him into any situation that I go through. You know, the eighth and the ninth steps were complicated, I guess, steps for me. I don't know how to say that. I like to complicate things, I guess. But, you know, there's a lot of wreckage in my past, like a lot of us, you know. Back in May 7th, 2006, I'm born and raised here, right here in Arroyo Grande off of 227. My drinking took somebody else's life. You know, I was drinking and driving. It was my second DUI. I don't know how many arrests at that point. And I don't remember a lot about the night. But I do remember being in the hospital that night and being in the emergency room with her and her having her, you know, the time of death pronounced. And I remember the self-centeredness of myself. And my response wasn't, my thoughts didn't go towards her or her family or my friend. It went right to me. And my first thing out of my mouth was, fuck, I got to go to prison. And that's the selfishness in me. That's the self-centeredness in me, you know. If you would have, you know, it's a part of the program, you know, a good friend of mine in the program that I really look up to always says when he shares, you know, the part of the program that people always forget to do, it's always, you know, one of their biggest downfalls is the service part and the giving back part. And when I would hear those things, that would always make me nervous, you know, because I am self-centered. I do have a hard time thinking about other people. Getting out of my own head seems impossible. but like everything with Alcoholics Anonymous, the things you guys say that you men and women tell me to do, if I do them and I trust them, they do happen. I do become a little less self-centered. I am not perfect. There is no perfection. There is no top of the thing, but there's progress, and there's continuing to be progress. And I might backslide a little, but there's progress. And my relationship with my higher power of God is the same way. You know, he continues to unveil himself more to me every day. I continue to carry him with me more every day. It hasn't been perfect, but it's been progress. You know, I can't express in words how grateful I am for this program and the hope it's given me that I can change, that there can be progress in my life. I don't have to be the guy that I have been the first 37 of my years of my life, 36 at the time I got sober. But you know, I've been blessed to have this door open and close and open and close for me multiple times. I guess the door never closes. I just walk out of it. But it's continually open for me. And the reality is, and I'm grateful that this has, you know, was brought to my attention early in sobriety, was just doesn't open. It's not a right. You know, being an alcoholic and an addict like I am, it's not a right to get sober. You know, there's a lot of us that don't get the opportunity. And there's a lot of us that are affected by it, you know. So the fact that it was open for me one more time, and I was blessed with the willingness, you know, that's nothing I did. You know, that only God can put me in that position of willingness and desperation that I was in. And I'm at a point now, you know, where I actually look forward to giving it away. You know, I look forward to a newcomer and, you know, when meetings and they ask, is there anyone in their first 30 days looking around the room? And that blows my mind. I didn't think that was ever going to be possible. I just really didn't. You know, I still have my wife and my kids with me, which is a blessing. You know, I get to raise my kids. I get to be with my kids. You know, when all that happened, when I first got sober, my wife, you know, kicked me out of the house as she should have. And I realized then two things. One, that my wife's a stud. And also my kids are going to grow up and my kids are going to continue their life with or without me. Now, I like to think they're better off with their dad around than not, but you know, again, I get to be part of their life. You know, I think you have kids and you have this thought of I'm their dad, you know, it's my right to, you know, the reality is I realized in that 35 days or so I was gone is my kids were going to continue. My wife was going to continue with their lives and keep them going. You know, so I get to be a part of that. And I get to be a part of Alcoholics Anonymous. Again, one of the ladies that goes to the Village Group in the old time, she always says that she's AA's biggest cheerleader. And I'm like, fuck, I kind of want to fight her for that. You know, I want to be AA's biggest cheerleader. You know, I want to fight for that. You know, as weird as a 37-year-old cheerleader sounds. But that's how I feel. I can't say enough good things about this program. And I don't want to go back to living life without it. The solution that it gives me for the things that come up in my life, it's just, it continues to amaze me. So thank you guys for being here, and thank you for letting me share. Thank you.